to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. In today's show, we explore what Ames has to offer kids who are out of school for the summer to keep their brains stimulated and their bodies healthy. Kay Puttock brings us an interview with Erica Peterson of the Boys and Girls Club, the focus of this month's Community Service Appreciation at KHOI. And with me in the studio are two people whose organizations also focus on kids' lives and learning, and whose jobs get a bit more intense during the months of summer vacation. We have Jerry Hyde, the Youth Services Coordinator at the Ames Public Library, who has developed a summer program for kids of different ages at the library. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you.
And Carolyn Johns, co-founder of Raising Readers of Story County, to tell us about Reading Buddies and the Summer Enrichment Program that Ames is offering this summer with the help of dozens of community volunteers. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get started talking about these programs. One thing that I've noticed about both of them is that they include a meal component. Would you like to talk to that first, Jerry?
Sure. We know that children in the summertime, not only do they lose reading and math skills if they don't have any summer enrichment programs to go along the summer, they also tend to gain more weight and eat more junk food. And that's not a good thing for our young kids. So one of the things we wanted to do this summer, as is happening across the nation as well, is to make sure that they have a healthy meal sometime during that course of the day. So what we have done with United Way of Story County and Raising Readers and the Ames Coalition, we kind of sandwiched our programs between a lunch that's happening. So I have on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at the library, there's a program for families, the whole family, so preschoolers and toddlers and their parents or caregivers. That's from 10:30 to 11:30. And at 11:45, then right next door at the church, we have a meal that the USDA and United Way of Story County has brought to our community. And it's an open site, so that means that anyone can come, 18 years and younger, can eat a meal for free. And then the adults, it's a $3.60 charge. And then in the afternoon, families can come with the younger children in the morning and then go to lunch. And then the afternoon right after that, they stop serving at 12:30, and our program begins at 12:45 on Mondays for our school elementary age students. And then on Wednesdays is for our teens that happen at 12:45 to 1:45. And then on Fridays we have a movie. A variety of movies that are superhero focused, and that movie begins at 1 o'clock.
Okay, so heroes are the theme of your programming this summer.
Correct. The program that I felt very humbled when you said I designed a program. It's not just me designing the summer program. We have a wonderful consortium that's a national consortium that all 50 states belong to it, and this group hires a very well-known artist to do the artwork and then a writer to write the different opportunities or different programs. And we receive that notebook. And in the state of Iowa, there's a grant that the state gives us. So every Iowa library gets this curriculum, if you would want to call it that, free. And then we can use what we want out of it. But it includes the artwork as well. And then, of course, we have some wonderful staff at the Ames Public Library, and they coordinate and create these programs as well. So lots of people are involved in the programming. So it's not just me, although that's very nice of you.
Well, and you also have a big blue dog to help you out.
We do. And he was just out and about this weekend at Summerfest, and he smiles is a very very interesting big dog that likes to come in and out of different things. So he may, I know he will be there on the 4th of July in the parade, so following the bookmobile. And you, as any of the superheroes in our community, if you would like to put on a cape and follow the bookmobile, Smiles will be right there walking along in the 4th of July parade as well. So come and join us.
Wow. Yeah. A great opportunity for kids to strut their stuff. And
yes. Because, you know, every hero has a story, and all of our children in our community, as well as our caregivers, all are heroes. And so we all have stories to tell. And I hope those stories are being told over the dinner table or lunch table. Hopefully at the lunch league, they're having stories there as well. As we are partnering with some conversation pals, is what we call them, at the table that Carolyn happens to be part of. She was just sharing that with me today. So.
Okay. Well, I want to talk to Carolyn in a second, but I did notice, speaking of Smiles, an interesting program related to the firehouse.
Well, as we all know, our community heroes are definitely our fire personnel. And every year, I believe we've partnered now with them 5 different years. And we have a program that is at either, two of the fire stations. So we meet at the fire station. All the families come. And at that time, Todd, one of our firemen, reads a book. His favorite is Fireman A to Z. And he goes through the alphabet. It talks about what kind of clothing and what kind of what a fireman does. And when he's finished with the book, Smiles is typically there as well. When he's finished with the book, then they have another fire person put on the clothing that a child or an adult would see if there, God forbid, a fire in their house, and the firemen would have to come. So they put on their boots and talk about how they put on their boots, because they have their pants already draped over them or around them. So all they do is just step in their pants and their boots and pull up their overalls, and they've got that on. They put their jacket on. They put the air tank on and their masks. And I mean, it's a quite an intimidating type of person that's standing there. But all along, they keep talking. The person that's getting dressed says, "I'm Joe," or whoever he is, and waves at the kids, and they all wave back. And then at the very end, he gets down on his his hands and knees and crawls toward them. And, of course, he kind of sounds like Darth Vader because of his mask with the oxygen and all that. And so they get to see this person that they've just seen get dressed. And then he also then afterwards takes off this garment. And so they can see that it's a real person. It's not just some sort of monster making a lot of noise coming toward them, so that, again, if there is a fire in their house, they know that this is a safe person to go to.
Yeah, and I think a lot of children dream of being firemen.
Yes.
When I was a reading buddy for preschool kids, there was one kid who first identified his desire to help people, you know, by the idea of wanting to be a fireman. Yeah. It's really sweet.
Well, and on Tuesdays, I didn't mention, on Tuesday mornings and Tuesday afternoons, we have community heroes, and our firemen and our policemen are also coming to do a special, like, assembly-style type of talk. And some of those programs also are hired presenters. So we have the Mad Scientists of Iowa coming this week. And then we have some magicians and puppeteers that are all focusing on that every hero has a story. So the scientist is doing science experiments featuring musicians. So it'll be a very interesting program on how they have gotten that all around and focused on the musical heroes of our past. So you'll have to come and join us. One, the morning one is at the library, and it starts at 10 o'clock. And then the afternoon one starts at 12:30 at the middle school. And we are partnering with the Little Cyclone Camp, the summer school that's happening out there, those enrichment activities, and bringing that presenter, that professional presenter to them as well. And both of them are open to the public.
That's right. And that is, that summer enrichment program is also a Raising Readers program.
Correct.
So we'll get to that in a moment. But you've already had a week of this programming?
Yes, we sure have. And it's been very, very successful. Some of us, some of the schools weren't out yet last week. So some of the surrounding schools. So I look for this week to be a tad bit busier. But we've had many happy little, our focus last month or last week was the Every Hero Has a Story. So we made some sock puppet heroes and we had lots of sock puppet heroes flying around the library, and all over the community. So it's been fun. And, we will go through the end of July. The last week of July, taking that week of July 4th off as far as our regular week-to-week programs. But we have Dan Wardell on his reading road trip that week. And we also have Carol Peterson. I guess her name is Carol Stevens now. She just recently got married. A wonderful musician that we use a lot of her music in our programming. So that's that week, as well as the fire station visits.
Okay. And you kind of can evaluate the numbers involved also by the numbers of lunches consumed.
Correct.
At the church, First United Methodist next door.
We do. And I know we began with 50 lunches because, of course, it's not a pre-registered program, so we didn't know how many to expect. And as this last week it grew or went on, the number of lunches grew and the number of people grew as well. And so on Friday, we happened to run out of lunches, not by many, but we did. So it's a very exciting time that people are responding to this program, that we have the lunches and we're able to fulfill that need for them. And it's truly a community effort. I mean, YSS, United Way of Story County, Raising Readers, the Ames Reads Coalition, we are all partnering. RSVP, who else do we have? Well, lots of people we have that are partnering and making this happen. 'Cause it truly, if I can quote, you know, it truly does take a village to raise a child and to raise them healthy and with intelligence and the need to be enriched. And part of the summer slide can be prevented, or the summer slide can be prevented if our community works together to help our children through the summer. So those teachers can have them to teach and to help them blossom in other ways other than having to catch up from the year before.
Great. That was Jerry. Hi, thanks. Carolyn Johns of Raising Readers, could you speak a little more about this summer slide?
Sure.
It's been a focus of Raising Readers and the Ames Reads Coalition.
Yes. And, you know, our goal is really for all children to be reading and comprehending at or above grade level. We actually put a date on that. We said 2020 is when we want that to happen. The state of Iowa has said that in 2017, so we're just 2 years. In 2017, if a child is not reading at grade level when they leave third grade, they have to go to summer school or they will be retained. And we just don't want that to happen for anybody. So that we would like to have all children achieving at grade level. And we're working on that in many ways, but one of the things that we know is that if children don't have enriching experiences in the summer, if their parents, if they don't get to the library, if they don't do enriching activities, if they're home watching TV or doing screen media, that is not growing their brains, and they tend to lose at least 2 months from where they left off when they left school. And it may take, our teachers will say, it may take until the winter break for them to catch kids back up to where they were. And, of course, by that time, their peers are progressing. So a child who doesn't have experiences in the summer that keep them growing and active mentally and physically is going to keep falling further and further behind. We also want all of our kids graduating, ready for life, ready for 21st century jobs. And we know that the kids who are not having those good experiences in the summer are the ones who are going to fall behind, not be much more likely to not graduate prepared. So that's kind of the big picture.
Right. And third grade, they say, is the year or after third grade is when they start to read to learn instead of learn to read.
Yeah. The curriculum, the textbooks, the materials that schools use rely on reading when you're in fourth grade. So, you know, it's not ironclad that that you don't read to learn before that, but that is typically what happens is you just count on children being ready to read certain level material by the time that they enter fourth grade.
And so Raising Readers, I should say, is an organization that starts their work maybe even before the child is born, talking to expecting mothers about the importance of language development and mm-hmm. what the research is saying about how to talk to kids. Mm-hmm. Let's bring it up to the elementary school age, which is what we're discussing this morning mostly. This is the second year of your mm-hmm. enrichment program at the middle school. And so last year evidently was a big success, and you're repeating the effort this year. Can you explain what the summer enrichment program at the middle school is all about?
Absolutely. We are partnering with the school district, both here and in Nevada. Ames Reads has worked with both of the schools, and I would say we look forward to working with more communities in the county. But we started here, and in the morning, the school district has their teachers that they contract with, and they teach reading and math skills in the morning. And then
that's a kind of typical summer school.
Well, actually, typical summer school for maybe 20 years here was less organized. And 2 years ago at least, we started planning, and the school district realized that they wanted to do what research shows makes a difference for children. So they made a more rigorous curriculum that the teachers followed. And they really did, I'd say, beef up what they were doing and using teachers that the kids knew and were comfortable with. So the school district is really doing a great job in the summer, and they're doing it for 6 weeks, which is what research says. You need to have that kind of time for the kids to actually achieve to their best.
So,
and then there's food, there's and transportation. I really give the district credit for taking care of the barriers that might keep kids from participating.
So a kid can get picked up at his or her house by a bus, a school bus.
A school bus
brought
picks
to
kids up. Mm-hmm.
Summer school. Mm-hmm. They spend the morning in a summer school classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
Get their free lunch from the USDA program, thanks to YSS and United Way and all that, and then your enrichment program kicks in.
And the enrichment program is the community contribution. So we have some wonderful partners in this community that they participated last year, and they saw the difference, the excitement in the kids. Ryman Gardens, for instance, the kids planted things. They learned about plants. And they're just, you know, many of the partners are doing experiments with the kids. We were over there on Tuesday, I guess it was, and the kids were all gloved and gowned, and they were doing science.
Right.
So there is a particular focus on science, and of course we use language arts along with that, but there is content there, and they are discovering things that they would never have had the opportunity to discover. And so it's really a delightful thing. And there are children who are kindergarten age, and then there are children who are young adults, I mean teens, and YSS has that program. But we have contracted with lead teachers, and then there are community volunteers that make it all happen. They It's a wonderful opportunity to interact one-on-one or in small groups.
It is. I participated last year, really enjoyed it. Uh-huh. I recall the animal science, the
National Animal Disease Lab.
Yep. Yes, yes. Yep. They had some very interesting experiments for the kids to do.
Yes, they did.
there were balloons. There were just all kinds of interesting physical mm-hmm. concepts illustrated mm-hmm. for the kids. And the kids were really responding to these ideas.
The teachers in the morning said that often when they had writing assignments, the kids would write about what they had done the afternoon before.
Wow. So that really shows you're getting through.
Yeah.
So that is a program that lasts 6 weeks mm-hmm.
This year it started right away after they got out of school. It started last Monday. It goes Monday through Thursday. And so it will go 6 weeks. And then there was going to be this gap between when the summer program ended and school started. So Raising Readers is filling that.
Of course.
And the library. We are wonderful partners.
We're all partners. So
right. Yeah. Yeah. This is the Reading Buddies program?
That's right. And Reading Buddies, let me just say up front, we still can use volunteers for that. You have the opportunity to interact one-on-one with a child or more if you just sign up for more hours. It is the biggest program is a 6 week program, and it starts on June 29th and goes to August 5th. So let's just say you're a child participating in that program. You come twice a week, either Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday, for a 45-minute session with your reading buddy. And so that's the commitment, is twice a week. The reading buddies are these are children who are either behind grade level or who, for one reason or another, could really use some additional reading help in the summer. It's a wonderful opportunity if you like children to interact with the child. We train the tutors, so you don't need any experience, really. You just need to like kids and like books. So we have two training sessions, and we use the curriculum that is research-based. It's called Words Their Way. Dr. Donald Baer at Iowa State brought that expertise to Ames. And he actually has helped train tutors. We have six sites this year that are starting June 29th.
Can you name those?
I sure can. There is Northwood Preschool, which is where ACPC, the Ames Community Preschool, has their summer daycare. So those are elementary age children. We'll be at the Trinity Christian Reformed Church, which is on Oakwood in North Ames near Sawyer School. We'll have the First United Methodist Church. And, of course, as Jerry said, that's where this open feeding site is on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we hooked ourselves up to that opportunity. Boys and Girls Club this year. We will be doing two sessions after lunchtime at Boys and Girls Club. The Laverne Apartments is on South 6th Street, I think.
It's South 16th.
South 16th. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. And they have there's a community room there, so that will be very convenient for the families. And then Bethesda Lutheran Church, we will be there. So that's the six-week program. I do want to say Eastwood of Ames, which is on 7th Street near the Banshell Park, that's a residence complex, and we will be starting there. That's going to be an eight-week program. That will be in their community room as well.
Okay, so it sounds like this is a call for volunteers.
Yes, indeed.
Who enjoy working one-on-one with children. You've described a curriculum that is scientific based, but it's not intimidating at all. Once you get started, it's a lot about meeting the kids where they are and mm-hmm.
being a buddy. being
the
a buddy,
kids is,
yeah.
is an important part of this.
I love that concept mm-hmm. that it's mm-hmm. You're not being a reading tutor as much as you are being a reading buddy mm-hmm. and just encouraging them to find their joy, their passion in reading and through reading. Mm-hmm. So,
and every site will have someone who is trained to be there to support the program.
So how does a person sign up to be a volunteer?
Well, the most efficient thing is to go online, and the site is www.readingbuddies, all one word, .weebly, that's spelled W-E-E-B-L-Y.com.
Okay. We will link to that on the website when we post the show.
And if it's easier, you can just call and leave a message at our Raising Readers office.
Yeah.
And that phone number is 520-8686.
Okay, 520-8686.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then there's also a Raising Readers of Story County website.
You bet.
And you can just Google Raising Readers of Story County and you get there. Mm-hmm. Is there a pathway to the volunteer sign up through that?
I hope so.
Okay.
You know, and the Volunteer Center of Story County is also a way to sign up for not only Reading Buddies, but they'll still need volunteers the next 5 weeks of this summer enrichment program. So,
right.
So you can help with the feeding program and you can help with the enrichment activities. And
the library does what it does really well, and that's connect people with the right answers. And if you come to the library, we would be more than happy. We have all this information, and we would be more than happy to help you find your way to help volunteer mm-hmm. or to sign your child up for the Reading Buddies program.
Okay, that was my next question. If you want your children in the program, I guess the best place to go is to the library and have
that would be excellent.
Have the youth staff help you there.
We can get you matched up.
We should say, you know, that's why we need volunteers, because we are not charging for this. Dr. Bear has contributed his time over the last couple years. We're using the same curriculum that Iowa State uses in the Duffelmeyer Reading Clinic. So, you know, we community people are trying to replicate that faithfully so that it does make a difference for children.
Great. I'd like to bring up, just before we end here, the interesting presentation that I was able to sit in on last week at the library. There were two presentations, I think, at the library and one on campus about a new program that aims youngsters will, very young kids might be involved in the future. Carolyn, could you speak to the LENA program and what this might entail?
Yes. The Ames Public Library and Raising Readers in Story County and United Way of Story County are realizing that literacy really starts very young. And we are working together to use this rather exciting new technology. And so here's what it is. LENA, L-E-N-A, it's like a pedometer. The pedometer measures steps, but this is a little device that is very small. It's worn in a specially constructed garment like a T-shirt or a onesie by a baby or a toddler. And it measures the amount of words that a child hears that are spoken directly at that child. It also will register the conversational turns, they call. So if a child makes an utterance and an adult utters back and then the child responds, that, they have found through research, is the most powerful way to develop language and literacy. So it will. There's a chart that shows how many back and forths, serve and return, they say, happens. And then it also can detect if there is technology in the background, so if a TV is on, something
right.
like that. And there is so much going on in terms of brain imaging now, and we are learning that a child's brain doesn't fire, the neurons don't connect when there's a TV, that kind of of talk, but if there is talk directly at them and with them, that's when the brain grows.
So this LENA technology that would be a device that measures from the child's perspective how much language mm-hmm. is coming at them, how much they're producing, and kind of quantifying that, this is a system that Ames has written a grant perhaps to buy and to contribute to this ongoing research about brain development and the best mm-hmm. ways to work with communities to am I on the right track here?
Yeah. You know, I do want to say I mentioned the three community groups, but we wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for Iowa State. Dr. Connie mm-hmm. Beecher is a recent faculty addition, and so she happened to know people who had been working mm-hmm. on this technology, and so she is designing this research with us, for us. We're going to use it in two different ways. We received a Pi Beta Phi National Foundation grant, and so we're going to be using the LENA devices as with families who participate in our Thrive by Five parent education program. It's a 6-week series of classes. So at the beginning of those classes, the families will have the opportunity to put these garments on their children for it's a 12 to 16 hour thing. So, you know, you just sort of forget that it's there. And so then they'll have a benchmark. They'll be able to see a chart of how much their child heard during that day. And then halfway through, they'll be able to do it again for another day. And then at the end, they'll be able to see. So a family can set their own goals is, well, this is what I did at the beginning. This is what average families do. I want to do whatever their goal is. We will be one of, I think it's 6 sites in the country that's trying this out. So we have quite an opportunity ahead. And our part of it is to show that a community can actually do this.
That's just fabulous. It's mm-hmm. interesting and exciting. And, you know, we always hear these polls, research polls about the best places to live, and Ames always comes up in them. And, you know, it's groups like you guys that are making it happen and working together with others to really bring excellence to the programming in our community.
Well, we have a lot of resources, and I think it's our responsibility to show what can be done. And of course, it's the people who are, I think, Raising Readers. Last year we had over 7,000 volunteer hours recorded. I mean, I'm sure there are others that didn't record. and we're to that point again this year. So that's a tribute to our people.
Great. Yeah.
We are very lucky in Story County to have Raising Readers. They are like the grandparents of all the other organizations do. They get to do the parent education, the things that we don't here at the library anyway have time to put in place. And so I'm very lucky in our county to have that.
And certainly our county is very lucky to have Ames Public Library as well. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming today to share about these summer programs. We'll have all the information online, links to it, and kids can sign up or don't even need to sign up for the library programming. Is that
right? They can just come and drop by and participate.
And as far as if you want to volunteer to be a tutor,
right.
We would like people to do that this week, this coming week. June 11th is our first training. There are 120 kids waiting to be matched with partners. So,
okay.
So decide quickly.
Yes. And you have a lot of choices about where to go.
We
sounds
sure
like.
Do. People, yes, there are morning, afternoon options. And then at Bethesda Church, there is a late afternoon. It's 5:30. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you.
That was Jerry Hyde, the Youth Services Coordinator of Ames Public Library, and Carolyn Johns, co-founder of Raising Readers of Story County, talking about opportunities for kids and for volunteers this summer.
When we return, we will hear Kay Puddock's interview with Erica Peterson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club, another great summer opportunity for kids in Story County, as part of our Community Service Appreciation Program here at KHOI, where we feature a nonprofit organization every month to help bring the community in communication with the services they provide.
Let's go drifting through the trees. Let's go sailing on the sea. Let's go dancing on the juke joint floor and leave our troubles all behind and have a party so easily forgotten. All the most important things, like the melody and the moonlight in your eyes, and a song that lasts forever, keeps on getting better all the time. Life is beautiful, life is wondrous, every star above is shining just for us. Life is beautiful on a stormy night, somewhere in the world the sun is shining bright. I get crazy.
This is Kay Puttock for the Community Service Appreciation segment this month, and our organization for this month is a wonderful community resource, the Boys and Girls Club of Story County. And I have with me here in the studio Erica Peterson, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Boys and Girls Club. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you, Kay.
And welcome to Local Talk. Let's start off by telling our listeners what exactly the Boys and Girls Club does for the youth of Ames. And by that, I mean not just opportunity to play basketball and so on, but the less tangible things, too.
Absolutely. No, that's a great question. And I'm really excited to be able to answer that question, because so often as I'm in the community, people will share with me how much they love having the Boys and Girls Club, but it's always followed by that question of, what do you do? And so besides basketball and other recreation activities, we are providing and building for great futures for our children. We have three priority outcomes of academic success, healthy lifestyles, and character and citizenship development. So we really want to make sure that every child who comes through our doors is successful in the long run, not just today. So the Boys and Girls Club, we provide this safe place for children to come out of school hours. So during the school year, we're open after school, and in the summer and during the school breaks, we're open all day long, so that parents know that their children are in a safe place,
right,
guided by trained professional caring staff. But while they're there, they're not just running around playing games. We're also offering them that critical summer learning loss prevention through some of our summer learning literacy programs.
Okay.
During the school year, we provide homework help and tutoring to make sure that kids are able to stay on track with their academics. We also provide technology access, which not all of our families have. So we have computers and internet access for the children to be able to complete their assignments, as well as then train staff to be able to assist them with completing all of those things. And of course, club is fun. It's a place where kids can come and have a good time. We say that children vote with their feet, and so they come if they're having a good time. And for them, they measure the club by if they're having fun and if they have at least one trusted adult that they have found there. And I can tell you that we must be doing something right, because we're hitting record numbers this summer that we have never seen before.
Oh, that's exciting.
We are very excited to know that the children and the families of Ames and Story County trust us with their most precious, with their children.
Right. Now, you say you're hitting record numbers. What are those numbers?
To put it in context, the last two summers, we averaged right around 100 children per day. In this first week of club, our lowest day, we had 117 children, and our highest, we had 160. So we're well above our average, and typically the first week of club are our lowest numbers.
And while they're there on a typical day, these 100 people might be doing what kinds of things?
So during the summers, the children are broken up by age groups. So in the mornings, in their age groups, they rotate through the different areas of the club. And so in the gym, they'll be doing large group activities and individual physical fitness challenges. In the learning center, they might be doing Money Matters, which is a financial literacy program.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could be doing our Summer Brain Gain, which is our project-based literacy program, which helps to keep those brain juices flowing over the course of the summer so they don't lose all of the academic growth that they had during the school year.
in the games room, then we teach them a little bit more about recreation. And so they learn sportsmanship and healthy competition, but they're also learning how to play table games. They're learning to play cribbage. They're learning to play pool, and an opportunity to interact a little bit more with their peers as well as with the staff. That's kind of a typical morning. Then after lunch, they'll have some recreational time either in the gym or outside in our playground and in our field. And then in the afternoon, it's a free choice. And so we have activities going on in all of those different centers mentioned before, with the kids being able to choose which area they would like to spend some time in.
Now, I always think of swimming in the summer. Is there any opportunity for them to do any swimming?
That's a great question. So part of our summer programming is field trips. And so once a week, we do take a small group of children to the Nevada swimming pool to give them that experience. Mm-hmm. And so we do keep it to a small group because we want to make sure that we can appropriately supervise.
Right.
And we choose to go to the Nevada pool because it is a little bit more enclosed.
What other kind of field trips do you do?
So we're actually in the process of just finalizing some of those, but we are looking at going to a local restaurant for our teens to learn how to do some cooking. We have the weekly trips to the swimming pool. We have a weekly trip to the movie theater. We will be taking a group to see Disney's Mulan at the Ames Auditorium. We do our best to get the children to at least one sporting event, so whether it's the Iowa Barnstormers or the Iowa Cubs. And we also like to give them an experience with animals. So if we can get them down to the Blank Park Zoo, or sometimes even bringing the zoo to the club with their traveling components, their traveling program, we like to be able to do that as well. So ultimately, giving them a well-rounded exposure to a lot of different activities and opportunities that they may not always have because of their own family resources.
Right. I remember the club years and years ago. And it was just for boys, in fact.
Yes.
When did that change?
So the Boys and Girls Club nationally became the Boys and Girls Club in 1990. And the clubs as a whole have been around for 155 years and was always the Boys Club for so many years. But in 1990, it became Boys and Girls Club, where we opened our doors officially to girls. Looking back historically, we know that girls have been participating in the Boys Club for many, many years, but it became official back in the 1990s.
So girls would come even when it was called the Boys
Club. Yes, girls
that would. That wouldn't happen the other way around, would it?
I don't know that it would, but it happened to work this way. So, and what we see is that we still have more boys than girls.
Mm-hmm.
So our summer registration right now is 115 boys and 85 girls.
Oh, so it's pretty close.
It's pretty close. Yeah. So we're looking at about a 55 to 45 ratio. During the school year, at least what we've seen in this last year, it was more 2/3 to 1/3. So 67% were boys and 33% were girls. And similarly, 2/3 of our population that we serve are elementary school aged, and then 1/3 of our population are middle school or high school students.
So it's mostly the younger kids.
It is mostly the younger kids, but ultimately that's ages 6 to 12 and then 12 to 16. So it kind of breaks down. You know, the 2/3 are in those first 6 years.
Thinking of the academic kind of stuff,
yes,
you mentioned
absolutely.
Homework help.
Yes.
They could, for example, if their parents aren't going to be home when school's out, they could come to the Boys and Girls Club and there'll be someone there to help them with their homework?
Yes, absolutely. Every
That's
single day.
That's a very attractive idea.
Our families and our kids really do appreciate it. There's some of the children who are excited to be able to have a place where they know they can just concentrate and get their assignments done. And they know that if they have questions, they have staff that can help them with that. During the school year and during the summer, we also have tutors that come in from Iowa State that will work with the children who are really struggling to really help them to get caught up and to hopefully even advance, especially in reading and math.
Right.
If children are falling behind, we are in the process of building our relationships with our local schools so that teachers know that they can reach out to us and let us know so-and-so has some assignments they need to get completed. Can you make sure that they get them completed when they're at the club? Oh. And so we're able to do that. And parents can do the same likewise. So we are able to be that support.
When we were talking before we were on the air, you mentioned the teens program.
Yes.
Now, would you like to say more about that?
Yes, we're really excited about our teen programming that we're kicking off. This summer, we implemented a new position at the club. It's a teen coordinator position. And so this dedicated youth professional is someone who is completely dedicated to facilitating the youth experience of the club or the adolescence experience of the club. And so together with the youth, they develop what their summer schedule looks like. So they will be developing their own field trips, their service opportunities, their learning opportunities. All of these things will be done under the guidance of a staff, but it asks for a little bit more investment from the teens so that they are a part of their own, developing their own club experience. During the school year, we had a teen night once a month. We had a teen night so that youth could come and invite a friend to come and experience the club. Club was open a little bit later at night just for the teens to kind of give them that experience. And so going forward, we're looking to have and to continue that opportunity so that we can have our doors open to more teens, to give them a place to go. Nationally, the statistics say that between the hours of 3 and 7 p.m. is when most of the youth's high-risk activities and youth crime is up. And so by...
Well, that's interesting. So that is the time when they get out of school and like before their parents get home.
That's exactly what happens. And so it's that time when they're unsupervised, when they're exposed to more risks and more dangers, and they're maybe not quite sure yet how to handle those. Hmm. So by coming to the club, it does two things. One, it helps to reduce their exposure to some of these risks because they're in a safe, positive environment. Right. And two, we give them the tools with that character development and by having the positive trained staff to be able to know how to face those situations when they are confronted with them. Because we know that they will eventually have to make some difficult choices for their life. But by being able to give them those tools when they're still in that tender age, it will better help prepare them for the future. So we're really partners and advocates with parents to be able to support building a successful future for the children.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned service opportunities for the teens.
Yes.
Would you like to say more about that?
Sure. So we have two teen service groups. One is called Torch Club and one is called Keystone Club. The Torch Club is for the middle school age students and Keystone is for our high school students. And in these programs, the youth elect their own officers and together, so they're learning a little bit about the democratic process. And then together as a group, they decide what type of service opportunities they would like to provide. And so it might be a fundraising opportunity to raise money for another organization. It might be a service opportunity where they actually are giving back into the community. So for an example, during the school year, our Keystone Club did a food drive. So this was entirely youth driven. And they decided that they wanted to support the families that were served by Access. And so they did a food drive for about 2 weeks within the club. And they collected many, many pounds of canned goods that they were able to then deliver to Access. And this was something that was entirely done by them.
And did they choose the organization?
They chose the organization. This was it's entirely youth driven. Again, just facilitated by an adult.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, that's a great opportunity. Yeah.
This summer, we will be, again, going to play games at Heartland Senior Services. So we have a nice partnership with them where we go occasionally to play games with the seniors that are there. And so we take a small group of kids and it kind of gives that, you know, grandparent, grandchild environment for our kiddos. Mm-hmm. So. So, yeah.
Now, you mentioned also the slogan is when school is out. Well, how does it go?
When school's out, club's in.
Okay.
So more and more nationally, we recognize that the clubs aren't just a safe place for kids. We really, really need to be about giving the kids all the tools necessary to be successful in the future. And that means partnering with schools, partnering with families to make sure that they have every opportunity possible. And we also recognize that families can't do it alone and schools can't do it alone. And we cover that really critical piece of out-of-school time where we know we can make a tremendous lasting impact.
Mm-hmm.
So when school is out, our doors are open and we're open.
Yeah,
on
and
average.
In summers too.
And in summers too, yeah. Absolutely. So we average being open 240 days a year. So you take out all the weekends and that's virtually every other weekday we are open. Schools are open 180 days. So just to put it in perspective, we have a lot of time that we're able to be there for the kids.
Do you have any particularly striking stories about things that have happened or people that have come through the Boys and Girls Club?
Oh, goodness. How much time do we have? So we have a whole gambit of stories that we've collected either from current youth or from alumni who have come back to share their story. I'll share one of each. But before I share the story, I want to talk a little bit about who we serve. In our mission, we serve the children who need us the most. And that could be a child who is living in poverty, or it could be a child in a well-to-do family who is really struggling socially. Or it could be a child who really wants to have a diverse cultural experience and so can find that at the Boys and Girls Club. So we serve a broad spectrum of children within our club. So one of the stories that I think really shows a tremendous impact was with a young boy who came to join us last fall. He was 7 years old, which at that time was the earliest that he could have started. And he and his mother had just moved to town. His father, unfortunately, was incarcerated and they had just gotten a divorce. And so this young boy was in a very tender, tender situation. Additionally, he had had a younger brother who had died of SIDS right at a year before. So we have a single mom who's going to school full-time, working full-time, and a young boy who is dealing with a very dramatic family situation.
Right.
When he came to club, he wouldn't speak. He was a selective mute. He would cling to one of our staff members. What we found was that after about 3 weeks to a month, he started to speak. And he would start to speak very quietly at first and only to the staff person. Mm-hmm. But then little by little, he would start to speak to others. As I had mentioned earlier, one of the things that we really, really like to do at the club is provide hope and opportunity when there hasn't been any. And when we receive, for example, donations of basketball tickets, we pass those on to our families. So this was a family that we were able to give them some of the men's basketball tickets to the ISU game this last season. And this was the first time that as a family, they had the opportunity to even go to any sort of sporting mm-hmm. event. Now, that's a little thing yeah. for most of us. But for them, it was Indeed. A rejoicing moment sure. because the family situation they had come from, they weren't allowed to leave the house. They weren't allowed to dream. And in that basketball game, he told his mom, "Mom, I want to play basketball someday." And mom shares with us that this was the first time that they could start to dream again.
I can see you getting all choked up.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
This story
That's
very
right.
much touches me.
It is very touching. That's wonderful.
So this summer, he's back in club. He's running around. He's not clinging to anybody now. We don't hear him yelling out loud and cheering loudly, but we still do see him now speaking to other kids, speaking freely with staff. And so he's come a long way in the 6 months mm-hmm. that he's been with the club. And mom has shared with us that not only has he been transformed, but she's also been transformed by the experience at the club.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful.
So although we are the boys and girls club, we're also a family club. Mm-hmm. By being able to be that additional caring adult.
Sure.
For
sure.
the children. Parents yeah. can also find that we are advocates for them.
Right.
And they also know that because the cost of membership is so low, it allows them to be able to use their income for some of those basic needs that they might not be able to do otherwise. Mm-hmm. So,
it's just as a childcare service, it's a huge bargain, I would imagine. And then it's more than just childcare.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's yes. wonderful. Yeah. You mentioned you had two stories.
Yes. So the other story is an alumnus, actually, who approached us. Let's see. He approached us last fall, and he said that he had come through the Boys and Girls Club when it was back on Kellogg Street, so a while ago. And for him, it was a choice where he and his brother were enrolled in the club because they just wanted something to do. Financially, their family didn't need it. But they knew that when they went down there, they would find friends, they would find support, they'd have a great time. And the two of them were involved for many, many years. And they also said that at the club, it didn't matter what clique you belonged to at school or what school you went to, you were all the same at the club. It was kind of an even playing ground, if mm-hmm. you will. And so he came back and he approached us last fall and he said, "You know, I received so much during that time. I want to give back."
Oh, how lovely.
And so he has generously helped in part of our remodel project that has been taking place this spring. He helped in installing our new cubby solution, if you will. So a storage solution for the children's
right. yeah.
bags.
Yeah.
And then he's also helped in setting up a new storage area for our club and completely out of the generosity of his mm-hmm. own heart. Mm-hmm. So
giving back because he
absolutely
received so
and
much.
So and he's in a place now that he's able to give back. And so mm-hmm. between him and his family, they were able to raise funds that helped us to purchase the hooks that the kids can use now for their bags mm-hmm. as well as then going mm-hmm. out. So his name is Josh McGee and he is the owner of Hidden Creek Carpentry.
Oh, well, those are two wonderful stories. Thank
yeah,
you so much.
You bet.
Well, I've been talking to Erica Peterson, who's the chief executive officer of the Boys and Girls Club of Story County. And before we go, would you just like to remind everybody your hours of operation, where they can find you, your website, and so on?
We are open Monday through Friday during the school year from 3 to 7. And during school breaks, we are open from 8 to 5:30. So throughout the summer.
That's 8 a.m., of course.
Yes, that is 8 a.m. until 5:30.
In other words, all day, really,
yes.
in the summer.
You can find more information about us at our website, which is www.bgcstorycounty.org. Or you can reach us at 515-233-1872. Additionally, if you like us on our Facebook page, we have postings every day about club happenings as well as updates about news and information.
And the address of the Boys and Girls Club is on 5th Street, South 5th Street, 210 South 5th Street.
That is correct. We are located at 210 South 5th Street.
Well, thank you so much, Erica Peterson. As I say, I've been talking to Erica Peterson, the Chief Executive Officer of the Boys and Girls Club of Story County.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Our guests were Jerry Hyde, the Youth Services Coordinator of Ames Public Library, Carolyn Johns, co-founder of Raising Readers of Story County, and Erica Peterson, CEO of the Ames Boys and Girls Club. Thank you to our guests for their contributions and to correspondent Kay Puttock for her work on that community service appreciation segment. I've been your host, Greta Anderson. Richard Morrison engineered the show. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. This show and past archive shows can be found on our website, khoyfm.org, along with related resources and contact information. That's khoyfm.org. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. You are invited to join our production team to cover our dynamic, thriving community. Call us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or stop by our studios at 410 Douglas Avenue to learn more about volunteer opportunities. As always, your participation as listener and your generous donations are what makes KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.